Welcome to the P17 podcast, Doc of the Bay. I am your Dr. Bay, and before we do anything else, I invite you to close your eyes, relax your shoulders, and sit with Mr. Otis Redding for 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
I hope you enjoyed that. Mr. Redding always reminds us we're not the only one going through whatever we're going through. And now, we're ready to go on. Today's topic, we're going to wrap up transferring. So a recap. Number one, your well-being should be considered alongside the benefits you might get from taking a course for college credit or buying an AP exam. Transfer equivalency can mean you're done with requirements you don't enjoy, but proceed carefully. You might have to take a more advanced course instead, or actually retake the course, if you switch schools or programs or go to grad school. Third, community colleges offer lots of benefits you may not have considered as part of, or as your whole, college plan, like associate's degree classes that are the same as four-year schools, with professors, not TAs, as teachers, convenient schedules, and small class sizes. Now, I want to bring your attention back to community colleges and transferring first. We learned that important phrase, transfer equivalency. There's another related term you should also know about, direct transfer agreement. A direct transfer agreement is a contract that guarantees a student who finishes certain courses through a community college will be admitted to a particular major or program at another college, which in some cases is even in a different state. See Everett Community College's list link, you Oregon-y people. UW has ended its direct transfer to majors with all the schools, but UW-Bothell's incredibly hard to get into nursing program still has one with Everett Community College. The direct is key here. It's a specific plan with a promised reward at the end. Googling your school's name and direct transfer agreement is a smart move. You might find out there's a guaranteed path to the exact major you want at a lower cost than just entering as a freshman. My California dreamers may not be aware of this, but UC schools have what they call the Transfer Agreement Guarantee with all California community colleges. They also consider transfer students without it, but those students don't have the promised major. If you wish you could go to California, but out-of-state tuition makes it hard to do, consider going the California Community College, then UC route. See the link of programs on this. Having spent the time to finish community college courses in-state, you'll be qualified for in-state tuition at UC when you transfer. Remember that senior I had who didn't know that you had to register and plan out your classes in college? I hope you didn't laugh at their story, because you might not know some things about registering for college courses that are absolutely crucial. Ready? I want to tell you the story of two universities, both located in the same big state. One was in the West, and one was in the East. Really, really, really bad economic effects hit the state after the financial crisis in 2008, and the university's budgets were cut. However would they manage? The decision makers at the school in the West met in their decision-making room to think hard about the problem. After a while, one said, "I know, let's admit more students, especially international students, since they pay the most in tuition." "But," said one probably junior decision maker squeakily, "won't we have to offer more sections of classes and pay more instructors to teach the classes if we have more students?" That made the senior decision makers frown. They did not want to pay more than they were already paying to run the school. Luckily, the smartest decision maker of them all chimed in, "Not necessarily. We can offer the same classes we do now. Students will just have to take the classes that aren't full. We'll actually save money on top of making more money that way." All the decision makers at the West School, both the senior and the junior ones, were very impressed at how smart the smartest decision maker really was. Meanwhile, at the school in the East, the decision makers were also talking about what to do. They were hearing that many more applicants wanted to enroll than in years past, because the financial crisis had made it too expensive for them to go out of state like they'd planned. But admitting more students would require that the school offer more classes and pay more instructors to teach those classes, even though they were getting less money from the state than they were before. Slam! The head decision maker's palm struck the big decision-making table, grabbing all the other decision makers' attention. "This is a challenge we must face. I say we double the size of the entering class and increase the number of sections to match it. We'll have to cut expenses everywhere. It won't be easy, but we have got to be sure those students get their chance to go to college." The decision makers at the school in the East felt a lot of pride and some fear, but they voted to put the plan in motion. And it worked, even better than they'd hoped, even with all the cuts they had to make. In fact, the state legislature was so impressed at how the school in the East had handled the budget crisis and had helped out the state students that the next year they proposed to charter a new medical school, the only one in the East, and to make it part of the school in the East. When the school in the West complained loudly that it wasn't fair to their medical school to have another one in the state, and when they testified in hearings that they should run any new med school since they were smarter than the school in the East, the legislators said, and they said, and then passed the charter. The end. This story is, of course, true, and it highlights something you need to know about registering for college courses. Most public state universities all over the country have the same system for registration. It goes like this. Grad school students, like me when I was in the PhD program, get to register before anyone else, like in April, for September classes. Then seniors get to register, say 8 weeks before classes start. They get their spots. Then juniors get to register, maybe 6 weeks before. Now those spots are taken too. Sophomores, 3 weeks before, your turn. They snatch up spots. And, oh, yeah, who's left? Aw, the poor freshmen. When the freshmen go to sign up for classes, well, lots of the classes are already full. Oh, wait, here's one. Oh, at 7 a.m. with a professor nobody thinks is very good. Yikes. Seriously, since the budget crisis 10 years ago, first years at UW have been telling me they can't get into the classes they need in order to go on in their major, sometimes not until the last quarter of their freshman year. they have to fill their schedule with electives and third choice options. Some even take the online version of classes, even though they know, like for math, this might mean they'll fail. Because they couldn't take, say, Bio 101 until the spring, they had to try to remember everything over the summer to do well in Bio 102 the next fall, when they were sophomores. And then they went on to 103 in winter. Then they could move on to Bio 201, and so on. Do you see what happens here? Some students end up having to stay in college longer, or they take courses outside their college and transfer them in, paying additional tuition to finish the 4 years of courses they wanted to take. That's not okay. This is why you research on College Confidential and other sources to find out whether at your school, for your major, it's hard to get a spot in classes or not. You find out it is? Well, now you've got a reason to take as many AP exams and community college credits as you can transfer in. Why? The way you become a sophomore is by having a year's worth of credit. That's 45 quarter credits for UW. If right now you're 10 credits away from that, look over the transfer equivalency list for the school. Is there an AP exam you can take for some credit? Got some classes that offer credit? Make sure it'll transfer, and then go for it. In the next podcast, we'll talk about majors and degrees one employers look at when they hire a college grad.